RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, Alec Medford.
Oh, man.
And the famous Jacob Ray. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck y'all doing today? And everybody out there in listening land, how are you guys doing today? And by the way, for anybody who are like, you guys aren't putting on Darren Woodson, 100%. We're all putting Darren Woodson into the Hall of Fame. It's just the Hall of Fame has D'd him around for so long, we don't all have our hopes up. We all think Darren Woodson absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame. Now, how the heck y'all doing?
I'm doing wonderful today. Again, woke up in a good mood, energized, ready to go. It's still cold as balls outside. I'm not a fan of that.
True.
But
do you think that's a confusing phrase?
It really is, because I don't really understand. Like, I think of maybe like some billiards balls can be kind of cold because of the material that they're made of. But I don't really ever say that anything of that nature is cold. So I'm like, I say it a lot, and I don't really understand it. I feel like there's a lot of sayings in life that we just kind of pick up and say, but we're like, why does that make sense? Because it doesn't.
Very fair. There's an amazing George Carlin bit about this years and years ago, and he talks about all of them, and he's like, oh, this world's going down the tubes. What tube? Is it just one tube? Is it a series of many tubes? And also the one I always loved was, lock him up and throw away the key. Where? Out in front of the jail? His friends will find it. That's the level of discussion I guess we're starting off with.
Uh-huh.
Jacob, how about you?
I'm doing just outstanding. I woke up at a good time this morning, and I've kind of realized this over the past 2 weeks. So my dog got surgery. And because he's got surgery, he can't run around. So every time he goes outside, I got to walk him just around the backyard, right? I kind of feel like this cold weather has a sort of like kind of cold shower effect to me when I wake up. You know, whenever you walk outside, you can see your breath. It's kind of like, you know what? This kind of sucks, but like embrace it, you know, and it'll wake you up. And it's a great way to start the day. So
I like that. I'd never really thought about that before. So, Jake, I'm encouraging people not to shower when it's cold outside. Just
walk outside.
Is what I took from that. All right, we're going to start off with a little bit of math. So we got all kinds of stuff going down today. Go ahead and give me cut number 4, will ya? And then we will eventually get to the AD trade.
Former Javier made big plays. I leave him open, though.
Because of that. Deep corner 3, Christie.
So let's talk about the game last night because, again, as we discussed yesterday, depending on what your overarching goal is for this Mavericks season, you could see it as very good or very bad. You continue to just fall further and further and further away from a real playoff seed. And I think that's one of the issues. So I just wanted to start with that. The Mavericks, not even halfway through the season, are 10 losses back of a real playoff spot. Just let that sink in for a second.
Is that good?
No. Yeah, again, depending on your philosophy.
Ah.
If you're like, oh man, I don't know, I'm really interested in DeBonsa or Boozer or, you know, like, depending on that. But you're 10 losses out of a top 6 spot. So it feels like already, if I told you best case scenario, this Mavericks team is a play-in team. Is that a fair assertion, not even halfway through the season?
It's more than fair.
Okay.
Just watch the games.
Yes. And so you lost to a Portland team that's not good. But to be fair, you're not good. But that's one of the teams you would be competing with to get into the 7 through 10 range and potentially be a play-in team. And so while you hear rumblings about, you know, Dumont wants to see the trio all together with Kyrie, AD, and Cooper Flagg, you're like, rock on. By the time you get that, it might just be too late. So if that's the way you feel, then last night was a good thing. It looked like for a while the Mavericks were going to kind of get run off the court. At least that's where the way I felt, like in the probably midway through the third quarter. And then you see a surge from the Mavericks in the last, I wanted to make sure I got this right, the last 40 seconds, they went on a 7-0 run to pull the game really close. And then if you were watching, the fourth quarter had 5 ties and 8 lead changes. And then the Mavericks just went ahead and lost. So maybe you're like, hey, I want to see some fun basketball. Might not be the best basketball, but it was fun. As long as we end up losing in the end, well, then you got your wish. But the Mavericks lose another game to a team that is not good. They had previously lost to Sacramento. Those are two of the worst teams, or that's probably too harsh for Portland. Those are not good teams, and you lost to both of them. And I think it's getting crystallized that, especially with AD out again, this is the team that you're at, and we don't need to put the super trio together to try to make a run at this.
Yeah, I've made it pretty clear that I'm already over it and trying to make a run at it, but then you go and you get beat by Shaden Sharpe and Caleb Love.
Yeah.
Man,
Shaden Sharpe had a sweet in-game windmill dunk.
Yes,
there.
Absolutely. And Caleb Love was probably the player of the game for me outside of Max Christie in my mind. I think those were the two impact players in this game. And a couple big plays in the fourth quarter from Love really kept it competitive for the Blazers, because like you mentioned, the Mavs do just enough to get me reinvested at the end of games, and then I remember what they truly are.
Yeah.
And it's a team that does not have the clutch factor right now because they don't have a true identity, which is fine. Just lean into it.
You know what's really funny about that? They have played the most clutch games, and essentially defined by the last 5 minutes, and they've played more clutch games than anyone in the NBA, and there are times when it looks like, oh yeah, maybe, and then there are times like these last two games, you're like, okay, never mind. Keep playing a competitive and fun basketball. And you notice I keep saying fun. Not good,
sure,
but fun. Now, this next part's not going to be fun, but I want to go around the room and see where you're at on this. I say we should trade Anthony Davis at a discount. What do you say, Alec?
I 100% agree. You take the best value you can possibly get and write it off.
What do you say, Jacob?
I also agree. I think this is a guy you probably want to get off your team and your payroll as soon as possible, because I think the more he gets hurt, just the more his value is going to go down. So trade it while it's high now.
All right. So I think those are all valid things. And then when you hear that the Hawks are interested, I know there was rumblings that the Warriors were interested. That does not feel imminent. And that would have to be a 3-team deal, which would complicate matters. So the Hawks make a whole lot of sense. I've got good news and bad news. I think this deal is a great deal for the Mavericks, but there are other people who might not feel that way. The first thing I'm going to warn you of, you're not getting the New Orleans pick that the Atlanta Hawks hold, because everyone's like, yeah, man, you get that New Orleans pick. Great. If you tell me there's a world in which Atlanta wants to do that, deal, because then there's a very good chance that you'll end up in the top 3 or 4 of the draft again. And there are three. It feels like that's kind of the line. Maybe people feel differently, but it feels like there's 3 potential studs in this draft, and then there's a bit of a drop off and you go forward from there. So you would have an amazing pick. I don't see any world in which the Atlanta Hawks would want to do that. Now, here's a more reasonable idea that we're going to throw out there. And I was talking with our good buddy, former Fan alum, Kevin Gray, about this.
Well,
all right, you get Zachary Risacher, the number one pick last year. One of these names is going to be jarring. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. You're going to get Luke Kennard, Kristaps Porzingis. Hold on to those thoughts. We'll get back to that. And a first-round pick. Here is why I like most everything about this deal. I like the idea of picking up Risacher. He's been somewhat of a disappointment in Atlanta in terms of his development, and I understand that, but that's the whole reason he's available to you. Also, he is a good defender, and he has the potential to be a really good defender, being able to switch off from the two, the three, and the four. So I'm going to start with that. Now, if you hate Luke Kennard and Kristaps Porzingis, I hear you. This is essentially an accounting move. All right, we got to make the numbers match, and you'll get a future first-round pick. Incoming money from this deal, $54.9 million. Outgoing money from this deal, $54.1 million. So the salaries match up. Also, the Mavericks have $1.3 million cap space until you hit the second apron. So you don't have to worry about that with this move. The reason why you would pick up Kennard and Porzingis is just because they're both expiring contracts. So you're talking about, I think, $43 million coming off the books. Compare that to, and Jacob, you just used the term, if you can sell high, Anthony Davis has 2 years and $121 million left on his contract, assuming he triggered his player option for 27-28. And at this point, I don't see how you don't make that assumption. And so you're getting away from all of that future Anthony Davis money. 2 years, $121 million. You're picking up a young player who still has a nice ceiling, and you're getting a first-round pick. And this might be most important, I think it allows you to lean all the way in to say, hey, we're kind of rebooting this whole thing.
I like it. I like it a lot because I think it's more than I would have expected. When you just say, get rid of Anthony Davis, you're getting expiring contracts, which is always a necessity. And it's almost like our quarter-inch adapters for the headphones here, right, at the studio. It is, right, as good as gold. If you can get expiring contracts just to make it through the season and open up some money, I'm always for that. But with Risacher, it's interesting because I pulled up the draft scouting report that I had for him going in, and I think he fits the idea of what they would want to fit in with Cooper Flagg. He's got his weaknesses, obviously, because he's already in trade conversations, but a 3-and-D wing that has incredible size. He's an above-average athlete. He has nice mobility, flexibility for his size. He's really light-footed.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And he has that really fun leaping one-footed shot that you can see in-game. And he looks like he can still put on mass and size,
too. Oh, he definitely can.
You know, he's got the frame to get bigger. So kind of like Mike always talked about with Derek Lively, if he can just put on that grown man weight, per se, I think that he can he can be the occasional coast-to-coast scorer that you could pair alongside a Cooper Flagg. But
you do have concerns about his general offensive game.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
fair.
He's not an elite athlete when it comes to just the measurables and stuff right now, but he's got the ability, he's got the frame that we mentioned. And then I just feel like sometimes his readiness and his toughness isn't exactly there, which is, it's a mentality thing. But if you pair him up with younger studs like Cooper Flagg and even Ryan Nemhard, guys who are going to score at volume and going to be aggressive from one end of the floor to the other, it's kind of like we talked about with Jason Robertson and Mikko Rantanen getting paired up together.
Yeah.
Is there might be a motivational factor, as weird as it sounds and immeasurable as it is, maybe just fitting into a new system that is playing very different
sure.
than the Atlanta Hawks style of basketball shows him that maybe I am better at an aggressive play style than I thought I was in Atlanta. So I just think the ceiling for him is already high as a player, but when you give him that fresh start in a different system under Jason Kidd, and maybe he can show you some nicer things defensively here too, I really do think that there is a high, high ceiling for him. So anything outside of that is just icing on the cake. I love the project player that still has a lot of time to develop and a lot of time to figure things out, especially because I feel like his timeline is and his leash is a lot longer in Dallas than it is in Atlanta. So
yes,
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
And I think it shows the nature of how weak the 2024 draft was. And we talked about that going in with Reese Shea and Saar at the top. I mean, I think if you looked at it compared to like this year's mock draft, I think there's a decent shot neither one of those players would go in the top five. And I saw somebody text in and said anything in the top 10 would be a win because they think there's 10 potential studs. Look, depending on how you feel about Brown from Louisville, you know, we've talked in the past about Lopez out of Mexico. There are absolutely more room, and you've seen tons of drafts where the best player ends up being like Giannis, for example. He's taken in the middle of the first round. It just seems like the consensus is DeBonsa, Peterson, Boozer in whatever order you have them in, and then a bit of a drop off just in perceived value. Does that mean how that's how the player will actually turn out? No, not at all. And so I like the idea that you pick up another pick. Maybe it's in this draft, maybe it's not, but it's this pick is what you control for the Mavs until 2031. Everyone is either dealt or subject to a pick swap. So I like having another first-round pick that you can control. You brought up the importance of having Reese Shea, and he's somebody who doesn't turn 21 until April 8th, and you're able to shed all of that money to give you at least room to consider things. Now, then Kyrie will be a whole discussion after that. I don't have the answers for that just quite here and now. But this is an idea that I think is a feasible trade idea, and I think it's possible. From the 214, in what world would Atlanta agree to that deal? In the world that we live in right now, let's go to Chris Haynes. Dallas would likely want expiring deals, young assets, and picks, and probably likely to include the number one pick from last season, Zach Risacher. So if you don't want to, or Zachary, if you don't want to listen to me, listen to him. This is exactly the kind of deal that Atlanta would be interested in, although what has made things more complicated in the last, 36, 48 hours is the idea that at first we heard Atlanta doesn't want to deal Trae Young, and then you immediately hear the follow-up, they're looking at the off-ramp to get rid of Trae Young. So who knows? Maybe that starts a whole different conversation for Atlanta.
It's just such a weird place to be in for Atlanta because they swung and missed with their number one pick. Their what they thought was going to be their franchise player, they want out, and it seems like he wants out too.
Yep.
They're going to have to hit a hard reset. Their roster is so ugly and constructed so weird. So that's why I think the world that we live in is very real for them to want to make that deal because they need to get rid of as many things as possible right now so they can try to address as soon as they can.
And see, and one of the things that will help Atlanta reload, potentially really quickly, and I don't know how people, maybe they're super pumped up about Jalen Johnson and everything like that, but consider this. There's a decent shot, probably a better than decent shot, that Atlanta gets the number one pick in this draft because they hold that Pelicans thing. So it is a fascinating kind of balance of, if you move off of Trae Young, can you just say, but we're not really restarting it, we're just rebooting? Because if I told you, oh, we'll use Darren Peterson, the guard out of Kansas, for example, if you're like, we're moving out Trae Young and we're bringing in Darren Peterson and Anthony Davis. Well, maybe they think, along with Jalen Johnson, they're like, hey, that can have us ready to go really freaking quick. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we power rank the NFL power rankings. Plus, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So share those triumphs and maybe tumbles from championship weekend. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
And it's back to the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. This upcoming segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
And he's a promising player. Here's Robinson, right side. Nice cutback. He's gone. Can anybody catch him? Not tonight. McCreary chasing. We'll get their touchdown, Atlanta.
You know what I really like about that cut? And first of all, I love Troy Aikman's addition right there. Not tonight. Is you still needed Bijan to have that little jump step within the last, what, like 7-8 yards to make sure he didn't get tackled? And I'm sure Troy Aikman was like, good. I needed you to make sure. Yeah, I needed you to make sure that was not an issue. So, yeah, I like that call very much. Bijan Robinson is absolutely a freak. And we talked about this exact scenario. I messaged yesterday from the 214 about needing Bijan to not score 72 points. When he ran for that 93-yard touchdown, I got just a bit nervous about my championship slipping away. You would have an all-time bad beat story, because people will be like, oh yeah, I finished second in my league because, and you'll be like, blah, 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 blah. No, I lost because Bijan scored 73 points or something. You would have the all-time bad beat story. Luckily, that did not come to pass. But yes, if you want to tell us your triumphs and your tumbles from championship weekend, or if you want to tell us that you're not in championship weekend, or you weren't because your administrator doesn't know how to set the schedule right, I want to hear both of those things. But in the meantime, we power rank the NFL power rankings. Jacob, I'm going to give you the option here.
Oh.
Would you like option A, B, or C?
Ooh, B.
You've selected B. That is The Athletic. Now, as always, we will start. Who is the worst team in all of football? If you don't get this, I will be disappointed.
It is, and I think Jacob agrees, the Raiders.
You even said it in the same voice as I was going to say it. Look at that.
Connection. I love it. Now, things get more complicated from there. Yes, the Raiders are, in fact, 32nd because they're the worst. But who is the next worst football team? Because I think you could make a couple of arguments here.
Yeah, it gets a little muddy here. And that just shows you that the league needs a little bit of help. I'm personally going to say, when you lose by 32 points,
yeah,
you probably deserve to be close to worst. I would say the New York Jets.
And that is correct. I will do it for them, since apparently their fans don't want to do this anymore. The J-E-T-S, Jets, ooh, are 31st in the power rankings. See, I said first a couple times so they could feel good. Cut out the rest of it. They are, in fact, 31st in the power rankings. So it goes Raiders, Jets, in obviously reverse order. Giants are 30th. that feels unfair. They just destroyed the Raiders. The Titans are 29th, and the Arizona Cardinals are 28th. And by the way, since we're talking about the Giants, somebody brought this up. They're surprised more people aren't talking about Brian Flores for head coach of the Giants. He's a defensive genius. We actually talked about that yesterday in the opening segment, and then Broadus brought it up in the crosstalk. So I do think that that possibility exists out in the world. I just always wonder about the coaches that you feel like have been slotted as an OC or a DC, even if they only got one shot at head coach. It does feel like it's really easy for people to get slotted as, he's great, but not as a head coach. All right, let's go to the top. Who do you think? Man, and this one is way more complicated for me. Like, I think it's very clear that the Raiders are the worst team in football. I do not have a really good idea of who should be number one in all of the NFL.
So we have three 13-3 teams.
Okay.
So it makes it really tough.
I'm not actually sure if I think two of those teams are that good.
Exactly. So I'm like, I bash the Seahawks, and we talk about how just uninterestingly good they are. I think the Patriots are the cream of the crop. I think they are awesome. And then the Broncos, I have no idea what to think about. I would personally go with the New England Patriots.
Jacob? I'm also going to go with the New England Patriots just because I think they have the NFL MVP, and I think they got the NFL Coach of the Year on their team.
Ooh, in your face, Shanahan.
Yeah.
So you can think that all you like.
Aww.
But you pick the Athletic, and they have the Seattle Seahawks as the number one team in football. And you'd be like, crap, I picked the wrong one. Did you? Because ESPN, the Seattle Seahawks are number one on the board. So, early preview of NFL overreaction to reality. You think the Seattle Seahawks are anywhere close to being the best team in football?
Ooh.
I know what their record says. Would I, as a Cowboys fan, trade for that record in a heartbeat? You're damn right. But that is not the question.
I'd say reality. I think they are close. I just don't think they are right now, which is totally fine because come playoffs, it doesn't really matter what we think. But their longtime GM now, John Schneider, has made some perfect moves. Because I remember there was a lot of talk about, oh, they could get a big name receiver at the deadline. And then they say, how about Rashid Shaheed? And everybody was like, okay. And he has been a weapon for them. He's just made all the right moves, so I almost don't want to doubt them, but I do doubt them. So I think they're close. They're just not right now.
I'm going to say reality as well. I think they're close. I think they're absolutely in the top three. And I would probably, if I had to build a power ranking right now, I'd probably put them at two just based on the record. But it's just so hard to believe in Sam Darnold after what we saw last year. And I have a really tough time putting teams that are led by defensive head coaches in the running for a Super Bowl, just in my opinion. We'll see what they do in the playoffs, but I mean, the fact that they're considered the number one team in the NFL with a chance to lose next week and not even get a home game kind of just tells you everything you need to know about the Seahawks.
Yeah, and that's where I struggle because Seattle's one, New England's two. This one, the Athletic, goes in a very different direction. They have the Jacksonville Jaguars at three, the 49ers at four, and the Denver Broncos at five. And it's tough because on the one hand, I want to be like, oh, the disrespect for the Broncos. But on the other hand, when I talked about the three 13-3 teams, the Denver Broncos were one of the two that I'm not sure is really that good. I think their defense, of course, is unbelievable. So that's where I struggle, and I feel like we're going into one of the more unpredictable NFL playoff runs in recent memory. I'm not going to just say the most unpredictable, but it feels pretty darn unpredictable.
And I love it because I fully agree, and I think there are probably in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 teams that I could say, yes, I see a reasonable reason why they could take home the Lombardi Trophy. And it's because nobody has been super consistent outside of New England. I think they give you the same look every game. Not saying that they're stale or anything. I think they just look good every game.
Any concern about that weak strength of schedule?
A little bit. just a little bit, because I think maybe you can get too comfortable
sure.
in your own shoes, and then you walk into, you know, no man's land going against a team like, let's just say, the Broncos, because we're talking about them, a team that we said we have no idea what to think about. We don't know what we're going to get from the Broncos every single game outside of elite defense, which is something you're going to run into in the playoffs. So it's weird. It's really weird, but I enjoy it because I kind of want to not know anything. It was lame with the Chiefs. It was lame when Josh Allen looked like he was finally going to take that throne in the AFC. Now the AFC specifically, I don't really have a front runner outside of the Patriots.
Well, and if you think about it, like, obviously you default to the number one seeds, and that could still change in this last weekend of the season.
Which
but right
awesome.
Now, the number one seed would mean a Super Bowl between Denver and Seattle. Those two teams are combined 26-6. I don't think there's any way in hell that will be the Super Bowl, but I'm not sure why. Because both teams, if they can take care of business this weekend, would only need to win two more games. Yet I find myself sitting here and I'm like, yeah, I don't see it. But then if you were like, all right, what's your alternate Super Bowl? Then I'm like, Chicago, New Orleans, like New England? I don't know. So I really am kind of stuck right there. All right, so we asked for people's triumphs and tumbles going into last night, and here is somebody who they still have not completed the season. And I want to know if people get mad when they have to complete the season in week 18. From the 5-4-0, I got into the playoffs by half a point. Now I'm in the championship game. Oh, love it. From the 4-6-9, I bet we're going to see a lot like this. I lost in the championship game. I was up by 36 points, and then Bijan Robinson scored 45, and I had Kyle Pitts playing, and I still lost. Oh. From the 972, we have one international member in our league, and Bijan kept our trophy stateside. It doesn't have to go to London. Thank you very much, Bijan. Man! From the 817, I was down 60 points. And I had Bijan, Stafford, and London playing, and I won by 0.5. And I hesitate to read this one, but it's only fair. From the 4-6-9, I was up 40 points going into Monday Night Football. I had London. He had Bijan. He said him and his wife went to bed in Tolo Go. Stop it. And when I woke up, I lost.
Oh.
Well, at least you won before.
Yeah.
You
in another
went to bed, so there's that.
That was not fantasy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But if you're listening to The Fan, they probably gave you some update, right? That Bijan Robinson was running wild? But I guess if you're doing that, you're probably not
good
listening.
Good point. But just imagine if you were Tolo going the moment that, like, let's just say Luka got traded during daytime.
Yes.
Imagine.
Oh, my god.
That would just shut everything down, right? Like, you can't. You
yeah.
can't just hit resume. You gotta take a moment and mourn.
Yeah. No, I mean, and like, hopefully the FCC would have cut us some slack if we would have just said what the F and not censored it in the middle of the show, because that is a trade. I would hope that the FCC would have looked at them and like, well, you know. From the 214, I won in the championship game thanks to Stafford coming back down to earth. From the 214, I am the champion. I was the fourth seed, and I beat the first and second seeds, and Williams got me my final points last night and sort of Puka Nacua. From the 682, I won the championship by 30 points.
Woo!
And from the 817, what? I lost because Josh Jacobs gave me 1 point. And I started Brissett instead of Dart. It was tied 212 to 212, and he had Pitts playing. Man, so even that was kind of a sweat, just a little bit. Well, we will maybe pick this segment back up again next week, because it sounds like there's at least some people who are still going to be vying for their championship. Are you one of those people?
I am. I'm going into week 18 up by 30. So
okay,
yeah, I was trying to make a deal with the guy that I'm going against. It's just like, hey man, let's just like bench all our players. Alec actually had a great point. He's like, you should pick up some niche quarterback and just bench everybody besides like Tyler Shuck or something, you know?
Yeah.
So that might be fun.
Okay,
that was not me. That was Aiden, but I'll take credit for it.
Yeah, well, oh, that's right. That was Aiden.
That's okay. Are they really that different? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, we are very similar. Ask him in the break, Hal.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, because you both like those stupid upside-down hats, as Mike would say. I have no issue with those hats.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Mike, they infuriate him. If you get a chance, I don't know if you can find it. Go back and watch when he had to pitch those on the Rangers broadcast. It was hilarious knowing deep down how he feels about it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. What would you do if you were MLB commissioner for a day? Next on The Fan.
From Thompson, and Ohtani torches one, tosses the bat, and watches it fly.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Just a reminder, on Friday, we're going to be at Taco Bueno in Arlington off of Collins. Would love for you to come out and see us for the final football feast of the season because, you know, the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs and stuff.
What?
But sorry if I'm breaking that news to you. The Mavs also traded Luka. There's a whole lot of stuff I'll catch up on.
I quit sports.
But right now, let's fire up a little bit of baseball nuggets. Now, I wanted to go through this, and I've actually wanted to have this conversation for a while because there's a couple of different facets to this, but they ask managers across Major League Baseball some of the things they liked and didn't like, and I wanted to get y'all's opinion on a couple of things down the road, and it starts with, if you were commissioner for a day, what is the one change you would make to Major League Baseball? And the Orioles manager said, that's a great question. I wouldn't make any change. I love the game the way it is. All right. That's great. But we'll go to other people to get more real answers. But if there was one thing that you could change about Major League Baseball, what would it be? The Fantex, they have some feisty thoughts already from the 940. If I were MLB commissioner, I would move the deferred money, and you can defer money, but it still counts against your cap for the year that you're paying, that they're paying you, from the 817. If I was the MLB commissioner for a day, I'd strip the Astros of the World Series, make it final, no takebacks. I like the idea that you have this stamp that says, like, no takebacks on that. All right, for y'all, is there one change you would make, or I can give you more manager's opinions?
It's tough because I feel like they've done a good job the past few years Yes. of adapting and adding some stuff that I think was polarizing at first, but people kind of shifted quickly once they realized, hey, this is actually improving the pace of play.
Yeah, most everybody is on board, I feel like, now. Sorry, Derek Holland, I know you're not. Yeah. About the pitch clock and stuff.
Yeah, some of the purists are still out there, and I respect that thought process, but it's a business at the end of the day. They're right. trying to market to the current right. generation, and the current generation has the attention span of about 3 seconds. Yeah. You know, that's why highlight culture is everything. I'd say it's not a controversial one, maybe a little bit to some people, again, the purists, but I would expedite the ABS system and get the challenge.
Yes.
I don't want full automated ball and strike calling. I don't want 100% of it. I just want the challenge system. Yeah. So in big moments, we are not getting those big moments ruined by human decision that is just generally incorrect. And we've seen it happen too much. And you know what's unfortunate is, who was it, Pat Hoberg, that had the perfect game in the World Series and then he got busted for gambling or something.
Yeah.
So it's like our one shining night got busted for breaking the rules. So now I see more bad than I do good. And that's the nature of being an umpire or a referee. You never really hear about the good things they do. You hear about all the missed calls and stuff like that. But I like how they came up with the challenge system. I like having just two per game.
Yeah.
And saying that it can't come from the dugout. It has to be the players on the field. I love that aspect because there's already a debate, and you've seen it, and you talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. In minor leagues, they're dealing with some teams having more technology
Correct.
Than the others. So the access to replays and different angles and stuff, you could see, oh, by a millimeter, that is a strike. You need a challenge, and the dugout says it. Just let the players call it on the field. And I think it's pretty simple. It's non-invasive, too. Only takes a few seconds. I like it.
Now, Warren Schaefer with the Rockies said every Monday off, just like in the minor leagues. And then he said that would facilitate for more people who want to do a six-man rotation.
I like it.
And you can have a whole day of prep for the next week of opponents. But the hero we all need is Pat Murphy from the Milwaukee Brewers, because I'm going to read the beginning of his answer exactly how I believe he said it.
Oh, no.
Shadows? Eliminate shadows. Now, I'm going to expand. Those three words, shadows, eliminate shadows. I hear what he's saying. It just is weird. What would you do if you were a commissioner? I'd get rid of shadows. Well, I don't know if that is totally under the purview of the Major League Baseball commissionership, but I like it. And then he walked it through, and I think he makes good points. You can't have shadows because it's dangerous for the players, or at least devices to communicate for outfielders so they don't run in to each other. And especially since you've seen like what a step up in communications Major League Baseball has taken. So I think his answer is reasonable. I just like the beginning. Eliminate shadows. All right. Opposing hitter would you least like to see up at bat with the game on the line? Would you like to go first, Alec, or do you want me to give you Skip Schumacher's answer?
Ooh, I want to hear Skip's first because I feel like my answer is the low-hanging fruit.
He said, I'm going to say Freddie Freeman. He hits righties, lefties, stays inside the baseball. He's a hitter. He uses the whole field. He swings at the right pitches. He'll take his walk, so you're not going to get him swinging outside the zone. He knows the zone, doesn't try to do too much, and he's going to put it in play. Obviously, Ohtani is the best hitter, but I don't want to see Freddie Freeman at the plate with the game on the line.
I love that because I think about the World Series heroics of Freddie yes. Freeman, where he answered the bell every single time. And you hear that a lot about some of the veteran guys throughout the regular season, but I think you kind of take it for granted. The guys that have been around, and you hear like Eric and Matt and Jared on this station, they'll say, now this is a guy that knows the zone very well. And you hear that about some of the veteran players, and you're like, yeah. Freddie Freeman knows that strike zone. And so whenever you see him upset, kind of twirling his bat around when he's walking back to the dugout after a strikeout, it's because he knows he either missed an opportunity or it was wrong. And yeah. he's probably right. Another guy that comes to mind, Alex Bregman, he's a guy that really knows the strike zone. And he'll show it on his face when he's like, that was wrong, buddy. That was wrong. Freddie Freeman just answers the bell because he is smarter than most people on the field at any given time. And I think that's an underrated aspect of hitting in clutch situations, is just being smarter than the opponent.
Now, who is the pitcher who's not on your team that you would most like to hand the ball to with the season on the line?
Ooh. Couple names come up, but Paul Skenes is the obvious
one.
I
could see that.
Just because he has every asset in the book. There's a few that honestly do come to mind. Corbin Burns.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think the competitor that he is, he's not the blow you away kind of stuff guy like
right.
Paul Skenes, but that cat is just different. When you watch him pitch, there's a different intensity, yet calm on the mound. His presence, it seems like nobody's ever worried when he's on the mound. I want a guy that people just have the utmost peace and confidence knowing that he is getting handed the ball.
From the 214, well, this will have to do more with how the fans react. I would replace $1 hot dog day with $1 beer day. Again, you can blame fans from, like, I don't know, 40 years ago for messing up the cheap beer night. From the 817, fire Manfred. Man, that is a baller move. You're like, I'm making some real fundamental changes. And these two people, they didn't answer it exactly the same, but I think the idea is the same. From the 561, I would cork every bat for a day. And then another person from the 817, if I was commissioner, I would lift the ban on PEDs and get back to making what makes baseball great, roided out monsters with projectiles and blunt force weapons. Man, so we're getting there in different ways, but I think they both want to see that. Another person's suggestion, have at least 1 to 2 mascot games per day. Now, per season. Now, my question about that is, does that mean that the regular players have to be in mascot outfits to play? Do you have to take people from the organizations? Do these count as part of the standings? Because if so, I think the Savannah Bananas would definitely pick up that idea if they haven't already. But I am intrigued by that concept.
I like the idea of having, like, celebrities and former players do the mascot game, so you have no idea who it is, like, until after the game. Yes.
Okay.
And after the game, whatever, like, the winning team, they get to unmask first.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh my gosh, why is, you know, Ryan Reynolds out here hitting tanks to left field? I don't know.
See, I like the former player aspect, especially with the Rangers, because you could have had, like, oh, well, that is clearly Julio Franco or Mickey Tettleton because of the very unique ways in which they held their bat. I feel like that would be very popular. Getting that through as a game that actually counts, I don't know if you can get that. But you know what? If you were commissioner for the day, well, I guess you have the autonomy to make that happen.
Make it work.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.